this season that we're in, and we've spent some time kind of talking about Jesus. Obviously, that's kind of what we talk about every Sunday morning, but we're spending some time kind of in that birth sequence, and we're going to jump forward 8 days after the birth of Christ. Is that okay? Can we just do that this morning? I know that's out of the order, but next week we'll get to the birth. But today I want to jump 8 days forward and spend a little time talking about Mary and Joseph and what Jesus did in them, because I believe Jesus wants to do something significant this morning. So let's read out of Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 30, and then we're gonna jump in this morning. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 33. At this time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and let me pause right there. Right before this, Mary and Joseph decide, in the process of that eight-day scenario, they bring Jesus to the temple because it was their ritual, their custom, to bring the children to be dedicated to the Lord 8 days in. And so Mary and Joseph find themselves at the temple as we kind of lean into the story of Simeon. So as they're at the temple dedicating their son, Jesus, this is where we find Mary and Joseph and this man, Simeon. And here it is. Verse 26. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which was prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Now, you know, when my wife and I had our first child, and we kind of talked a little bit about this last week, but there's something about wanting to kind of make everything perfect and make sure that everything kind of goes the right direction, right? Your first kid, and if you haven't had one yet, you'll experience this, or maybe you have friends that were kind of bizarre when they had their kids, but there's this desire to make sure that your first child, because you've never done this before, that everything is perfect, right? So I remember, like, we did all sorts of research and we, you know, what's the right vitamins and you know, who's the right doctor, and you go researching what hospital to go to, and you want it to look, you know, like an incredible room, and how it's all going to happen, and you buy a video camera and you get all this stuff, and we still kind of continue to do it, you know, like, what's the school that our kids are going to go to, and who are the teachers, and we want our kids to have and be the best. So we spend so much time and energy trying to do this. I remember early on, like, you know, we heard about the binky, and that if the child holds the binky too long in their mouth, you know, then their teeth might be crooked. And so, you know, then there's this point where you start panicking and you're like, okay, we got to figure out a way to get rid of the binky, but my son, like, lives by the binky. Like, how do you get rid of the binky? If you don't know what the binky is, it's that little thing that you put in kids' mouths and they suck on it when they're babies, right? It's called pacifiers. We called it a binky, or maybe your child calls it a weird name, whatever it is. And I remember this one time, like, we would pull it, you know, out of the mouth, and late at night we'd go in and kind of, you know, you'd kind of yank it out of the mouth, and then they're like, you know, looking for it again, or they'd start crying. You're like, oh, all right. Or you're out in public and your kid's acting weird, so you just stick the binky in and it just solves all issues. So there's this weird dependence on the binky. Like, as a parent, you, like, live vicariously through the binky. Like, whenever you don't know what to do, just the binky. You know, your kid starts acting, so binky. You know, as a dad, it's like, you know, it's important. It's the first thing you say, you have the binky? Because we're about to go out in public. Like, we need the binky, because you never know what the child might do. So without the binky, we're in trouble. And then, you know, the worst is when mom leaves town and, like, leaves you in charge of the child. And now you have to manage this and you don't know. You know, you, like, kind of hold the child away like this and trying to figure out what to do. And then you can't find the binky. I mean, that's like not being able to find God in the midst of the world. I mean, it's difficult, right? It's like, where's the binky? I remember all of these things as a parent, trying to make sure that everything is perfect for the birth of your child and from that moment on, right? Like you read articles about the fiber in the diapers and, you know, so are we going to do paper? Are we going to do disposal? Are we going to do natural, you know? Are we going to allow our children to watch TV from a young age because if they do, their brain might melt? I mean, you read all these articles and you're thinking, oh my God. And then you realize, wait, I survived. I grew up watching television from a very young age. Like, I made it. Like I didn't even have, you know, mom's milk. We just had formula, right? And I mean, I still twitch every now and then, but it's okay. Like we survived. I can't imagine the pressure that Mary and Joseph feel. I felt tremendous pressure as a new dad. Trying to bring this child into the planet perfectly. And I remember spending so much energy and time trying to make it perfect. So you think about Mary and Joseph, and especially, you know, Mary as the mom, but Joseph as the dad trying to figure out, like, okay, now I'm the father of the Son of God, like his real father is God, so he really knows how a father should be, and I'm going to constantly mess up. Like, so I got to figure out how to do it right, right? Because he's trying to measure up to the dad of the son that now he's, whoo, that would be intense. It'd be like a stepdad, you know, who has like you're, you know, you're managing this new son child, and that dad is perfect, right? And you're always finding yourself trying to find the way to measure up. I'm sure there's some movies that are like that. And what's interesting is Mary and Joseph come to this place where it's 8 days in. They're not going to miss the opportunity to dedicate their son, right? They're eight days in. They got to bring him to the temple because this is what we do. We got to follow the procedures and the plans to make sure that we don't mess this thing up. The Savior of the universe is here. And so they bring Jesus 8 days in to dedicate him into the temple. And that's where we find this story beginning. And what I absolutely find astounding, and I actually kind of find it comical, is verse 33. And they're going to throw it back up on there. Verse 33, it's kind of funny. As I read this and I was thinking about today's message, I kind of chuckled. Like Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Like at what point amazed you? You're in a temple, a strange old man walks up to you and starts talking to you. Like, that's amazing? Or wait a second, like, you've already had angelic visitations. Like, what's amazing about an old guy talking to you? What part of this amazes you? Because you've already had dreams, you've had incredible experiences, you've seen shepherds, stars, angels, dreams, visitations, let alone the fact that you're pregnant and you didn't even do anything to get pregnant. Like, what part of this part amazes you? I find it kind of interesting as they come, the Bible indicates that they're standing there going like, And I wonder if them, like us, kind of get into a routine of life. And in our routine of life, we kind of lose track of who's here with us. That in our everyday normal life, we kind of feel like we're working this out on our own, maybe. Maybe there's decisions that you have to make or things that you have to do, and really kind of push comes to shove. You kind of feel like you're kind of out on a limb trying to figure out how to make this thing work. And it feels like even though you consciously know that God is out there or that he's incredible or he's fantastic or he's amazing, especially when you come to church and you sing great songs with an incredible worship team like we have, that you remind yourself, but many times when we go out those doors and we just begin to live our normal everyday life, that it, we kind of, I know it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's almost like we kind of forget. You see, I believe that the Holy Spirit is doing something extraordinary in this passage of Scripture that I believe that he's working in us today. that as Mary and Joseph kind of go about their business and do what people do, they bring their son to the temple to dedicate him. And for us, that might be an important part of the story because maybe we've never done that. But for them, that was just a part of what they did. It was just a normal thing. And in that place, there's a man, an older gentleman who had been living his life where the Holy Spirit had told him he would see with his eyes the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one to come. He had been living his life looking every day for this moment. Wow. So here's Mary and Joseph just hanging out, you know, dedicating their child and doing what they do. And this stranger to them, this older man, walks up, and somehow I would have loved to have been there. Like, when did Mary like give up the child to this old stranger? Like, because it says he's holding the baby. So like, you wonder how that, like, I have the Savior of the world, I've got to protect him, you know, and you're a stranger danger. Like, who are you, right? And you, oh, and okay, like, take him, hold him. And Simeon, who's led by the Holy Spirit to come to this moment, he opens up the door to who Jesus is again. And their response was amazement. Wow. Because I think in life, we just kind of get going, and God wants to bring us into a place where we can identify again who Jesus is and what he wants to do through our life. The story is really about identity and authority. Identity is Christ in us. Authority is Christ through us. And I find that in the story of Jesus and the birth of Christ, that God is constantly trying to reinforce who he is and what he wants to do. And so here's Mary and Joseph, maybe in their perfection, maybe trying to figure things out, just doing what they do, normal life. The Holy Spirit takes a moment to bring someone in and go, I want to show you who Jesus really is. And what I find interesting about this is Simeon's response. Simeon, at the beginning of what he says this, now your servant, and this is verse, where is it? This is verse 29. Verse 29, look at this. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. As Mary and Joseph are standing there, and this man is holding the child, this man is looking at the baby, and he's saying, I have seen, and now I am fulfilled. You see, for them, they're just trying to kind of go along and figure things out, but Simeon is like, this moment changes everything. And I can imagine their surprise, their amazement as, wait a second, like I know he's the Son of God, like, you know, I got pregnant and it's kind of weird and, you know, we've had some strange things happen along our way, like we get it. But somehow this impacted them in such an incredible way because this man said, now my life is fulfilled and everything that I once tried to accomplish, I can now live in peace and God take me. For I'm fulfilled. And I think what's so beautiful about this story and really where I just want to kind of bring us to at the end is that Jesus wants to surprise us today. That the Holy Spirit is at work and to reveal who Jesus is so that we can come to Simeon's place. God, I'm so tired of trying to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. And the moment you see Jesus for who he is, it gives you a sense of peace that you can go, God, you're the one that fulfills. I can now walk in peace. And the Holy Spirit is trying to bring us to this place where we understand, even in this Christmas time, who Jesus is. He's extraordinary. He's unbelievable. The Bible says that it's called unsearchable riches of Christ. I remember at one point when Jesus said something very difficult, he turns to his followers and he says, well, are you guys going to leave? And their response is, where else would we go? For you have the words of life. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These things we hear. But many times, like many and Mary and Joseph, we begin to live our life. And it takes a moment where the Holy Spirit brings us to a place like this. To show us again that one glimpse of the Son of the Living God, whether it be at baby Jesus or it be the person standing in front of you, the experience of the reality of Jesus shifts everything. I call it the Jesus shift. Where it takes your everyday normal life and it makes it matter. When it all of a sudden takes everything that you've been hoping for and you realize it comes into the body of a person and it's the name of Jesus. I love this. And so this morning as we approach, and I believe that Jesus wants to demonstrate this morning who he is to you in a supernatural way. Like Mary and Joseph, you came to the temple, you came to church, and you just kind of, you know, maybe you had an argument on your way here. Maybe the car didn't work. Maybe it was just whatever. You didn't have milk when you needed it. I mean, isn't it like that? Every time we try to get something done or we try to go to church, something doesn't work, right? And here we are. And is it just another Sunday, or is the Holy Spirit orchestrating something for you so that in this season you can see who Jesus really is? And like Simeon, you can go, finally, I have peace. And all those things that you've been trying to pursue, all that stuff that you've been trying to make happen, could you now in this moment actually live in a place of fulfillment because of Jesus? Yeah. Simeon. And I think their conversation back to him, like, wow, this dude really likes our son. Like, it's kind of freaking me out. And I think Simeon was leaning into something that had yet not been seen, which was what Jesus could do for a life. The woman who had lived her life with issues that could not be healed by doctors, crawling on her hands and knees in the midst of a crowd, reaching out and touching the hem of a garment. A fisherman who had fished all night and caught nothing. And in the moment Jesus shows up, he says, throw your net on the other side. And their entire life's catch could not be measured. But in that moment, because when Jesus is in the boat, he speaks to the winds and the waves that life has no meaning outside of the fulfillment that Christ can bring. And let us not become so familiar with our everyday life and even coming to church and even saying the name of Jesus as we gather around our dinner table and go, oh, bless this food. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But do you realize that it's the name of Jesus, that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess? Do you realize that at the name of Jesus that sickness has to flee? Do you realize that at the name of Jesus our lives can have fulfillment? Do you realize that at the name of Jesus that the demons shudder? Do you realize that at the name of Jesus that which you were told by your family that would be your destiny can be shifted in one moment? That here's Simeon looking at this boy, looking at this child and going, I can die? What kind of faith is that, that in one glimpse, one look, one moment, everything shifts for him? I want Jesus that way. I try to raise my kids perfect, but you know what? At the end of the day, I'm gonna freaking mess it up. I've made my kids cry more times than I want to mention this morning. I've had to ask for forgiveness multiple times because I just sometimes like having a bad attitude. You know it's bad when you've cut so many people off or you're angry in the car and other drivers that your son starts reacting the way you do. So what does our children need? What do we need? What makes the difference? Simeon, today, the Holy Spirit, you thought you woke up and just made the decision to come to church, but like Simeon, you were led by the Lord. You didn't may have known this. You may have not understood this, but you were led by the Holy Spirit to come to this moment. And one glimpse, one moment, one word, one thought, one move of Jesus in your life, there is fulfillment to be had when you said, God, when will it all make sense? And then you see Jesus, the expression of God's love, who is here today. We don't need more words. We don't need more moments. We don't need more songs. We don't need more stuff. We don't need more money. We don't need more people. We need Jesus. Because when you have Jesus, it shifts everything. You want to be a better parent. You want to be a better husband, wife. You want to be a better worker. You want to be a better person. You can try all you want, but one day you will wake up and realize you've still made a muck and a mess of the place. I mean, I remember when my wife got pregnant and I had all the vitamins lined up and I was so ready, and she tells me that every time she takes a vitamin, it makes her sick to her stomach and she's nauseous for 9 months, so she can't take the vitamins. But all she can do is drink Coke. I panicked. What happens if the child comes out deformed because you drank Coke? Sometimes you have to realize, this is what I love about Jesus, is even when you make a mess of it, even when you do all that you can and it still doesn't work, there's a Jesus shift. There's a Jesus shift. And you can come into a place like this and not realize, and just one moment, one look, one hold, one glimpse, one worship team, come on up, one single solitary word from Jesus shifts everything. I've got more to the message, and I was going to talk about being led by the Spirit as we paused with Simeon, and that's maybe another day. Or maybe next service, you never know, because if you come both services, you realize I preach two different messages and I don't mean to. 9 o'clock, there's something special about you. And I believe, like Simeon, that the Holy Spirit has been orchestrating things in your life that you just thought you wound up here today. My wife says it every Sunday morning. But as I was praying last night over this, I realized that we need a Jesus shift. Because it's not about being perfect. You will spend all of your time trying to be perfect, and the next day you know everything messes up. You can even live a lifestyle of trying to make the right decisions, and yet there is one that you make and everything messes up, but with Jesus. So I tell my kids in raising my children, guess what? I need Jesus more than you. Ha, 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 ha. Because if I can teach them one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, it's called the Jesus shift. And that one glimpse, one look, one moment. You want to know why I raise my hands? Because I need a Jesus shift. You want to know why I close my eyes? Because I need a Jesus shift. You want to know why I stand? Because I need a Jesus shift. You want to know why I kneel? Because I need a Jesus shift. You want to know why I come every Sunday? Because I need a Jesus shift. I need it to be a better father, a better leader, a better pastor, a better husband. I need Jesus. And everything that I've been working for my whole life, when I have Him, when I see Him, I can lean back and go, I have peace, because You're the one that fulfills everything that I need for myself. for my kids, for my family, for everything and everywhere we're going. Would you stand with me and come on, let's have a Jesus shift this morning.